Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Heroes of Our Faith, Overcoming and Conquering.
Something interesting, Hans, you run with this week later on. I began to read Jesus's genealogy. Check out the women in the genealogy. Ain't none of them married. Rahab. Let me say that properly. None of them were married when God visited them. Let me say it properly. God was demonstrating, I can get my will done through stuff that you say I can't do it through. Rahab in Jesus' genealogy. Ruth. Naomi. That left the place of blessing to go into the land of the Moabites. Check out his genealogy. Tamar. God's trying to show us something that I don't think we see because our narrow vision. This is the only way God can move. And God loves when we get just like this. This is the only way I can move. He loves, oh God, you didn't want to say it. He said, that's just right for a highlight reel. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're just right for a highlight reel. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testified of his gifts. And being dead, yet he speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Here's what I'm trying to get to. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. All you need to become a highlight reel is faith. You don't need a pedigree. You don't need to be of such and such family. You don't have to hang out with them. All you need is faith. Come on, tell them, say them, all you need is faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Hebrews chapter number 11 contains, give me 15 minutes, y'all, and I'll leave it alone. Hebrews 11 contains an account of the deeds accomplished by heroes of our faith. It is a list of names and acts of men and women who performed as they was inspired and moved by faith in Yahweh, the God of war. It is a historical written account. Matthew Henry's Bible commentary said, the book of Hebrews was designed to inform them of the excellence of the gospel above the Mosaic law. And it urged them to move entirely away from the law to which they were wedded. He was trying to get them to see there was a better covenant. The epistle, according to Matthew Henry, was written to persuade both Hebrews and Gentile to press on in adherence to the Christian faith. When we read Hebrews, Hebrews trying to get us to press on in by the Christian faith into greater. Tell your neighbor, God's got more. God's got more. Bad English, good preaching. Come on, tell your neighbor, God's got more, God's got more, God's got more. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, but you got to press, you got to press. You, some things you don't get from God because you don't want it enough. You got to want your peace, you got to want your peace. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. You got to want your peace so bad that you'll zip up your mouth. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. You got to want your peace so bad you'll walk away from them saying nothing and having a lot to say. You got to want your peace so bad that you will close the book on that story. You got to want it. You got to want it. You have to want it. You got to want it. Hebrews is written, according to Matthew Henry, to encourage both Hebrew and Gentile to press on, to go after, amen, and to adhere to the Christian faith in preserving in it, being able to withstand all the sufferings that they might meet because they decided to press on. What this snatch it, grab it, name it, you can have it, Christian movement have, amen, instilled in us is that's all we got to do to get some things from God. You can snatch it. Just snatch it out of the atmosphere. You can have it. Just pull the lever. Just claim it by faith and it's yours. Well, you better go read about some of them fruit of the Spirit. Because some things you have to wait on the Lord. I'm glad I got one person clapping. Sometimes you have to have long suffering and suffer long. This generation will teach you you don't have faith because you've waited so long, then evidently you don't have the faith. No. Sometimes God, and I'm talking about the best stuff, sometimes God makes you suffer long. And you still, in suffering, call God good and perfect in all of his ways. That's faith when you can call him good and perfect in all of his ways, and he ain't done it yet. Y'all, I don't know if y'all ready for this good preaching. That's faith when he ain't did anything yet, and you declare that, God, you are good. Going to work by bus and by feet. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And saying, God, I don't know how you're going to make a way, but you're going to make a way somehow. Going to work and having a piece of salary and saying, God, you are my Jireh. You're going to make a way out of this little piece they're giving me. God, going to work and being scandalized and saying, God, you're still good. And don't say a mumbling word back to them. Oh, that's faith. I'm going to tell your neighbor, don't let this smile fool you. It takes faith to smile when ain't nothing going right. I'm preaching much better than y'all saying amen. Sometimes that's what it takes. It takes you literally putting a smile on your face because what you went through last week. Putting a smile on your face, what they said about you. Putting a smile on your face because the way this body feels. And you say anyhow, God is good and ain't nobody like him. That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently, that's a hidden word right there, diligently that seek after him. I'm determined that I'm going to stick with this Christian faith and I'm going to preserve in it. I'm going to withstand even the sufferings that might come in me doing so. That's powerful. The writer of Hebrews is urging them to keep following Christ. Not just surviving, but learning to thrive. Not just merely surviving, but learning to thrive, to overcome, to conquer. And Romans tells us that we're able to, amen, thrive, and we're able to overcome, we're able to conquer. Come on, somebody say, you're not just going to survive in this season. Come on, tell them, you're going to thrive, and you're going to overcome. That's when you find out God is a bad, don't mind my vernacular here. That's when you find out God is a bad joker. When you thriving, amen, and surviving and overcoming, amen, and still got going on in bad situations. That's when you know your God is a bad somebody. Anybody, oh gosh, y'all gonna make me preach up in here. Anybody else would have been in this situation, they'd have lost their mind. Anybody else would have been in this situation, they'd have threw up the towel. You got to realize you are of another substance for you to be sitting here. You had enough to happen this week that you should have stayed home, put the covers over your head, and say, I'm going to serve by, amen, Sunnyside Bedside Baptist. But you took them covers off. I feel like preaching, Brother Robert. But you took them covers off your head. And you put on them clothes, them good-looking clothes you got on. And you said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That declared that you got faith in a God that's more than evil. You're not just going to survive. You're going to thrive. And you're going to overcome. Conquer. Romans says, if God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say to these things? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, discretion, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, swords. It is written, we kill all the day long, but we are counted as sheep for slaughter. But nay, in all these things, good God Almighty, amen, we more than conquerors. I wish I could pass the mic sometimes and let you hear your neighbor's testimony. You ain't hear what I said. You ain't hear what I said. I wish I had a little bit more time on some Sundays and y'all wouldn't leave me at 12:45 and y'all wouldn't leave me at 1:05 and y'all wouldn't leave me at 1:35. I wish I could get some saints with some 3 o'clock spirits in them. I'd pass the mic and I'd let them testify and you would hear something powerful about your neighbor. You didn't hear what I said. The doctor walked away from your neighbor and said they didn't know what they were going to do. The doctor pronounced all kind of things over your neighbor, and your neighbor got up and said, God going to make a way somehow. You don't understand the economic crisis that your neighbor was in, and God brought him out. I wish I could let them testify. You don't understand the generation. Oh, God, I'm reaching. Danielle, you're going to make me come over there and preach to you. You don't understand the generation curses that I stepped over. You don't understand the generation curses that I stepped out of. You don't understand that was against me, against my birth and my coming out of my mother's womb. They said they're going to get him. God, I'm preaching. God reminded me of three significant things I overcame this morning. And I had to throw up my hand and say, God, you are mighty. When, God, Jezebel tried to get me back there on E Street. God brought me out and brought her down. When I was down in Wilson, North Carolina, a witchcraft spirit tried to follow me around and God knocked it down. And over a few days ago, all kind of things came out against me and God rose against me. I wish I had time to let your neighbor testify. It will blow your mind. What they've been through. It blew your mind. I want to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are more than a conqueror. I want to tell one more neighbor, say, neighbor, you more than a conqueror. There are things that you must go through when you're destined for greatness. Gotta leave this alone. It's a long anointing on me today, and I don't want to wear y'all out. But I need somebody to hear me, because you really want to be anointed. Go study David's three anointings. Significant times when enemy came out against him to kill him, take him down, take him out, and Yahweh, the God of war, rose against him. Come on, ask your neighbor, neighbor, you want to be anointed? Get an answer. Tell them that's some stuff you're going to have to go through. Salvation free, but the anointing going to cost you. I love what Romans says, but in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. The key to seeing the faithfulness of God, finish this fight, is living and moving and having our being in him. If you want to see the faithful God, Yahweh, finish the fight, you must live and move and have your being in him. Ephesians says, I pray that God will grant according to the riches of his glory that you be strengthened in the might of your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that spiritual formation, that Christ would dwell in your hearts, that by faith you might be rooted and grounded in love, as Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. And you may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. In order to be filled with the fullness of God, that you can understand the multi-dimensions of God, you're going to have to live and move and have your being in Him. He has to be enough. Generally, great falls come when Christ is not enough. But if God ever becomes enough, you'll start seeing the fullness of God. You didn't hear what I said. When God starts becoming enough, you start seeing the fullness of God. That's what Ephesians 3, 16 to 21 is trying to tell us. Because we are not filled with God and He's not enough, we are often taking journeys away from Him that causes us to miss Him. He was trying to show us that I'm this and I'm that and I'm that and I'm this. But because we journeyed away from Him, we missed it. And now we're not filled with the fullness of God because we're trying to get something stretched. An itch stretched that they can't stretch. We have to live and move and have our being in Him. We have to allow the spiritual formation to occur with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the community of the believers. I wish I had more time. Amen. We got to let true spiritual formation come. That comes through three dimensions: the Word, the Holy Spirit, and the community of believers. And we cannot allow that to be broken. Amen. Daily fellowship with the Word of God. Daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Daily fellowship with accountable brothers and sisters that can make sure we're going to work. Y'all ain't saying that. Loving our wives if we married. Taking care of our children if we fathers. Y'all ain't saying that. Going to work if we got a job. It won't happen. It won't happen without the Holy Spirit, without the Word, and without the community of the believers. And that has to be ongoing. It can't be unbroken. Some of us, the problem is, amen, we do real good for 2 weeks reading the Word, and then we go 2 weeks without reading the Word. Y'all don't look at me in that tone of voice. I know I'm telling the truth, and I know I'm telling the truth because I'm a prophet of the Lord. I can tell you where you forgot your Bible at if you mess with me. I'll tell you right where you put it down, and you went back 2 weeks later and said, I ain't read this thing in 2 weeks. How dare you? 2 weeks? You ain't no baby no more. That's what I expect with baby Christians. You ain't babies no more. I expect you to read this daily. Well, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I must be down your alley now. Hey, in fact, when you start getting, when you start getting titles on your name, and stay right there, Edward, you're going to get me out of here. When you start getting titles on your name, you read it in the morning, you read it in the afternoon, and you read it at night. You start getting lost in it for hours. Oh, you want a title? How dare you have a title and you only read this when you're trying to get a message to a people? That's going to be a polluted message if it's a message at all. I don't want no food from somebody only cooks when they find out I'm coming over to eat. No, I don't want none of that. I'm going to let y'all eat that. I want somebody to cook on Monday when I ain't there and they taste it and they said, I need to do this differently next time. I need somebody on Thursday before I get there. They taste them with a little bit of hammer hock, a little lot of hammer hock, a little bit of vinegar. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all eat that food y'all want to today. This my first time. No, I ain't your test, baby. You ain't gonna kill me up in here. Y'all don't want to eat no cooking that nobody just started when you got there. Well, if we preachers with titles and all that, and we get into Bible when it's time to cook, we just like a bad cook. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I need a message before I get here. Y'all ain't saying, I knew that preaching. I need a message for when I'm fishing yesterday. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Make sure that boat stay like it's supposed to on all that water. Y'all ain't saying, I need a message when I'm riding in my car by myself. Preach to yourself, Lawrence. You bad, Lawrence. Man, you 50-something years old, almost 60, and you badder than 20-something year old. I need you to cook, amen, when you are, amen, early in the morning, amen, and you look at this Bible and you start declaring things over yourself that later on you'll preach to me about me. Y'all still here? Gotta read this daily. Take the word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the community of the believer. Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it gives us five things that are necessary if we're going to go on this journey with living and moving and have our faith in Christ, if we're going to really understand this Yahweh God of war. Thompson Chain is awesome. He says, number one, we need spiritual altitude to become indispensable. Spiritual attitude to become indispensable. That we have a reverential thought mind about the Bible. That might be part of our problem. We think this is just another work of literature. In order to get the benefit out of this, you got to place it where it is. This is high. This is so. See, the old folks. See guys, this is the second, third time I done gained it. We got to bring some of that old stuff back into the house of God. And we got to take it back into our houses. Y'all remember, come on, LaTanya. LaTanya might know. The Blandons know what I'm talking about. I know Father Blandon. Old folks used to have a Bible that sat on the coffee table in their house, and you better not touch that Bible. You better not. I'm talking about you get within a 3-foot radius, my granddaddy would raise up. I'm talking, no, granddaddy, I'm just walking. I ain't messing with the Bible, granddaddy. But it wasn't necessary. I figured it out. It wasn't that Bible. It was a reverential of the word of God. When you put this back at a high place, you'll recognize it's been 24 minutes. I better go back to reading. Ernest, they didn't say nothing. You'll recognize it's been 35 minutes. I better get back reading. The spiritual attitude indispensable. That's what Thompson Chain says is necessary. The second thing is conscience need essential. The Bible should be studied eagerly and hungry as a man seeks his bread. First knowledge best. First-hand knowledge being best. What Thompson Chain is talking about right here is we have to move from desiring another man to always teach us. My messages should be just agreeing with the message that you received all week. Confirming, affirming, taking it a little bit higher. Come on, tell your neighbor, first-hand knowledge is best. What I'm doing now is second-hand knowledge. I'm giving you second-hand knowledge. You can take what I'm giving you now and go back and study, and you now have some first-hand knowledge experiences that become first-hand knowledge encounters that you met Yahweh by yourself. And now he's no longer the God of Pastor Lawrence, but he's my God too. I love what he says. He said, then we should study the Bible as a traveler, letting the truth go into the fields. Let it descend into the valleys. Let it climb into the mountains. Let it follow the streams of inspiration into the halls of instruction until it paints wondrous portraits in the galleries. Fifth thing Thompson Chain says we need in order to understand this Yahweh of the Bible. Number five, we need to understand the deep things of God. We need to seek to understand the deep things of God. We can't stay in the shallow forever. We sung a song, amen, Release the Waters, and in that song we say deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Thompson Chain nudges us and he encourages us. At some point in this journey, you have to begin to seek after the deeper things of God. The psalmist picked it up and says, they that go into the deep waters are the ones that see the wonders of God. You have to be in a mighty deep place for God to unveil, I am the God of war. On the shallow grounds, you won't see that. There are three things, amen, that are highlighted in the Old Testament that Yahweh was showing us that I am the God of war. Number one, now I'll be done. Edward, you can go ahead and get rid of doxology, me son. Number one is seen in Exodus 15 and 2. This is what I love about Yahweh, the God of war. Number one, Yahweh always stretches out his arm to show both care and concern for his people. In Exodus 15, when God begins to move, he's showing care and concern for his people. He always stretches out his arm to show care and concern for his people, even when he is chastening us. He's showing care and concern for his people. If you want to get a good view of God showing care and concern, go read the book of Judges. Because guess what you see in the book of Judges? And every man did evil and did what was right in their own eyes. And then he would let their enemies, whether it was one eye or another eye, he let the eye come up among them and war against them. And then in a little while, you know what God, Yahweh, would then do? He'd send a deliverer, a judge. So even when they doing what's right in their own eyes, they cry unto the Lord, and he sends a judge, a deliverer. You got to understand this about God. He is always with outstretched arms showing care and concern. Let me get through this. He's always showing care and concern, even when we don't deserve it. He's showing care and concern. Number two, Yahweh, where he finds faith and obedience, he demonstrates much more than we can imagine. Wherever there is faith and obedience, you're going to really see the God Yahweh go to war. Remember 2 Chronicles 20? They had come out against Israel to fight, and there was faith and there were obedience, and here go Yahweh sending ambushments against their enemies. When you're in tight situations, just check your faith, check your obedience, and you're going to be all right. Wherever he finds faith and obedience, you're going to see him demonstrate himself much more. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think, but according to the power that worketh within us. Where he finds faith and obedience, he's going to demonstrate more than we can imagine. I believe we're going to really need that in the days ahead. We're going to need to see Yahweh, the God of war. And where there is faith and obedience, they're going to say, what a mighty God they serve.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged. And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.